evening, and certainly enjoy having the girls up with us tonight. Always a blessing anytime that I get to be with them and I get to preach after they sing. If you can't preach after they sing, you ought to get out of the ministry. Amen. And I love these young ladies. Now, that's not all of their family. And they have an older sister who is, as I told you last night, her and her husband are missionaries in Washington, D.C., reaching our Congress and Senate. And then they have another sister in Florida, in Jacksonville. She's married to a preacher serving God. And their brother, who is the glue of the whole group, their brother is our music director at Calvary. And I've never seen a young man that can sing tenor, he can sing baritone, and he can sing low bass like he's in Gold City Quartet. All. Amen. One day he's probably going to do it all at the same time. I'm amazed by what he can do. But anyway, it's good to have Brother Clark and Miss Robin here tonight. And girls, my wife told me to tell you right before they went in church 7:30, she was watching y'all sing live on the internet. So she said, y'all did really well. And y'all look very pretty. Amen. So she wanted y'all to know that. 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight. I'm going to say a couple more things. And sometimes I feel sorry for these families that travel with me, and they may hear something I preach a time or two, but I heard them sing all them songs 400 times. Amen. Ain't that right, Brother Clark? When Miss Robin says something about you and you got that good mission message, you know. But I don't even know if you guys even heard this or not. It's new to me, but anyway, I just really got on my heart tonight. This is Wednesday. We're kind of getting over to getting into the week, rest of the week. I'm glad the girls going to be back tomorrow night. And we might even take them out on the lake tomorrow. You never know. And I don't know. We might. Amen. But Brother Clark, Miss Robin, missionaries, of course, I guess about 10 years in Mexico. He does our Spanish work now at Calvary, but he also does Spanish work all across the country as well in the other Spanish-speaking countries. They've been several countries in the last year, and probably the hardest working family that I have ever had the privilege to pastor. I don't ever have ever known if I've had a family that works any harder than this family does. Brother Clark, is that all you asked me to say? Did that cover it? All right, I'll take it. Amen. But anyway, I do love them. And I was telling you last night, their daughter Victoria, and she and I just been really close for a lot of years. The first time I'd seen her with her baby, they came to a church from Florida. Her and her husband walked in. And I saw that baby, and I never do this, but I saw Victoria carrying that baby, and I'm sitting on the platform and started crying. And I told them I had my first grandpa moment. I wasn't even the grandpa. Amen. But I guess in a way I sort of am. Amen. I love this family. I do. And God has used them greatly. Two of them are twins. I wonder if you can figure out which two. It may not be that easy to do. But two of them are twins. One of them just happened to grow a little more. They put a little more fertilizer on her. And one of them's a point guard. And one of them plays underneath the basket in basketball. And you can probably tell which one's probably underneath the basket and which one's the point guard. And anyway, and Miss Lydia, I ain't sure. She, I don't even know what position you play in that band. Amen. Everything, yeah. Amen. Great. Amen. Didn't you enjoy them tonight? Amen. If you don't like them, don't tell me because I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. I know this story. The Bible's familiar. Of course, I'm like one preacher said, all the Bible should be familiar. Amen. Amen. But the Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came again unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now, I want you to notice with me as I continue to read this that I'm going somewhere to a specific part of this chapter, and I'm going to get to a word, and I'm going to pause, and I want you to hear the word. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I want you to notice that God tells him to dwell there, and then he says, I have a widow woman there. And so I want to preach tonight on the subject, when the brook dries up, you've got to get there. When the brook dries up, you've got to get there. Let's bow together tonight and pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for providing safety for Brother Clark, Miss Robin, the girls to make it up tonight. I thank you for Miss Eva, Lord, here in college. And Lord, get to hear her sing tonight. I love her, Lord, and thank you for her faithfulness to you. I'm excited for this summer going out and working in the camps and doing what she's going to be doing. And us having her a few weeks is going to be great. Lord, I love this family. I pray your hand of protection upon them. And God, you touch them and use them for your glory. Father, I pray for our service at Calvary tonight. Be with our youth pastor as he preaches tonight. Give him what he needs. Bless the service there. Lord, I pray you'd help me to help this dear church. Thank you for Pastor Dixon. God, not just a great preacher, but a wonderful friend. And I thank you for him. Thank you for this good church. It's made me feel welcome these few years, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray now tonight you'll bless this time together. We ask it in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Don't forget tomorrow night. Now, the girls will know exactly what I'm talking about. But I told you tomorrow night is one of the few illustrated messages that I preach. The first time I preached, it was in youth camp for Gateway Baptist Church. And I'll be going by Dollar General tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be picking up what I'm going to be using in the message tomorrow night. I guarantee you probably never heard anything like it. Doesn't mean it's good. Just means you ain't never heard nothing like it. But anyway, you come tomorrow night, bring somebody, and I believe you'll see something a little different than you may have seen, but I hope God will help us tomorrow night. Well, if you've been serving God long, you can understand where Elijah's at in this passage of the Word of God that I'm preaching tonight. For all of us that are saved by God's grace, we have times in our life where we're enjoying the blessings of God. We're enjoying the good things of God. We can shout at the drop of a hat and praise God, we'll drop the hat. Amen? I mean, we're having the time of our lives. But for all of us, there does come a time when it seems like things dry up. That's why each year, your pastor, that's why I do this, that's why Brother Paquette does it in the Spanish church. We have something known as revival. Revival is not a new fire, but is rekindling the old fire. Revival is to get us stirred up and fired up. And as I was talking to your pastor today, he preached to you, I believe, Sunday night, Brother Danny, or last Sunday, whatever, about revival and how we need revival in our day. And friend, let me say this. We have to have revival in the local church. I believe that. I want to say this to you tonight. There are times in your life when things just dry up. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there a few times. I wished it was all rainy seasons. I wished it was all seasons of greatness and seasons where, boy, everything was just clusters of grapes and figs and everything was wonderful. But there are times when the brook dries up. Now, you know a little bit of this, and I won't go through all of the story here. You know that Elijah has seen God do some great things. But in seeing God do some great things, Elijah has grown some great enemies as well. Matter of fact, if you're looking in your Bible, you know that Elijah is under great distress from those that hate him, especially because Elijah has done some great things for God, and Elijah has shown in the Word of God that he is a great man of God. But just like all of us, sometimes you get to the place where you feel like, Lord, am I getting anything done? You get to that place where you feel like things are a little bit dry. And I'm preaching tonight to the cream of the crop of Crossroads Baptist Church. I'm preaching tonight to those of you that know what it's like to go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You were probably involved, or some of you were involved in the hunt that you did and trying to win kids to God and get the gospel out. Some of you are involved in missions and giving it, and some of you preparing food for this meeting this week. And all of you, I'm sure, have a heart for revival for your church, and the devil will do everything he can to cause you to dry up in your spiritual life. I wished I could say tonight that I've never had those dry times. I wish I could say tonight that I've never went through times in my life where it literally was a struggle just sometime to get fired up about going to church, about preaching, about serving God. But friend, I'm telling you, a lot of things come along that can cause sometimes dryness in our lives. And so God knows what Elijah's going through, and the drought is in the land. And so God sends Elijah down to the brook. Now, I want you to notice some things that are very important in this chapter. Then I'm going to talk about that place there. That place there. T-H-E-R-E, not T-H-E-I-R. I'm not talking about there something. I'm talking about a place literally there that God sends Elijah. And by the way, God will send you there if you let Him. Amen. I've had a little touch of God just saying that right there. Hallelujah. Time out a minute. I think about all those times in my life. I didn't know where I was going, but God knew where I was going. I didn't know if this decision was the best, but God knew it was the best. There are times in my life when I did not know, and I was wondering, God, what are you doing? But I'm glad that the Lord always knows exactly where there is. Brother Clark, I was thinking about that gym at Bible Baptist Church in Landrum, South Carolina. When masked gunmen had been coming to your home in Mexico with masks and AK-47s, and you barely got your entire little family out of Mexico alive, and it could have easily something happened to your whole family. And how that day I was preaching revival in that church, and we sat down, and I looked at Brother Clark, and I said, Brother Clark, if God ever burdens you, I didn't know everything going on in Mexico, but if God ever burdens you to come home from that, if you have to come home, I want you to talk to me. I'd be interested in you coming down and working with our Hispanics and working with them and working. I never dreamed that I'd get to be the pastor of these young ladies and their family. Their son would lead our music, but God knows where they're. There is in your life. Now, I want you to watch this tonight. You know I don't preach long, so stay with me. I don't have a sub-point one tonight. 3 points, I'm done, buddy. Now, I want you to watch this tonight and get a hold of what I'm saying. Sometimes in life, things get a little dry. Other people in the church will be rejoicing. Some will be waving their hand. Some will be praising the Lord. But you'll be sitting there thinking, man, it's been a while since that happened in my life. It's been a while since God stirred me like that. It's been a while since I felt that. You can have that, Brother Dixon, in the ministry. You can have that as a Sunday school teacher or a music leader or a choir member or whoever you are, a preacher's wife. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you can go through dry times in your life. See, when the brook dries up, you got to get there. Is everybody with me about the word there? You got to get there. I want you to notice, number one, in this chapter, the Lord's provisions. Isn't it amazing that what God did with Elijah? God sent Elijah down to a brook that he knew eventually that brook would dry up because there was a drought in the land. Not only that, but God used ravens to feed Elijah at the brook. And ravens were not those that were to bring you something. Ravens were those that would take something. They were those that were after something all the time. But yet they fed Elijah down by the brook. How many of you tonight could honestly say before God, how many times you wondered, where's God going to meet me at? How's this going to be done? How's God going to answer this prayer? And freeing out of nowhere, God will come to where you are, and God will meet your need, and God will use things that you don't even expect or you don't even see coming. Amen. You look in this chapter of chapter 17, the Bible tells us that Elijah here in this chapter is down by that brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He's hiding himself there. What does that mean? God wants him to come apart. By the way, sometimes if you don't come apart, you will come apart. And he said, you're going to drink of the brook. The ravens are going to feed you there. So I want you to notice this. Verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Now I want you to watch this. Really get a hold of what I'm going to say. The Lord's provisions were given to him. And at this brook, God met the needs he said he would meet. The Lord's providers at the brook were unusual. The brook during a drought. And by the way, God could have kept the water flowing in the brook. The ravens to feed him there. So you see the provisions and you see the providers here. Now there's something you've got to get a hold of tonight. Elijah, the entire time was in the will of God. I know that's elementary. I'm sure your pastor, many men of God, have talked about this. But Elijah was not out of the will of God. Some people get the idea that when I dry up in my life, when things dry up in my life, I must be out of the will of God. I mean, when God all of a sudden doesn't show, like Paul when he was on that boat, and they hadn't seen no sign, and they thought, man, it's over. God, and we're going to die. And then the angel of the Lord stood by old Paul in that boat and said, it's going to be all right. I'm glad when I can't see God somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find God and he'll be there. Amen. So I'll say this to you tonight. You could be sitting in this auditorium tonight and you're in the will of God. You could be sitting in this auditorium tonight and you're trying to do what God wants you to do. But just to be totally honest, it's been a little dry in your life. Brother, you could be leading the music, playing the piano, pastoring the church, teaching a class, and being the will of God for your life. And sometimes it gets a little bit dry. You find yourself, as one old country Baptist preacher said, trying to drink cracker juice. It's done got pretty dry when you're drinking cracker juice. And can I say this to you? Hey, Elijah, oh, God's using him greatly. There's another young man that's going to follow him that God's going to use even more because Elijah stays faithful. But I want you to understand that Elijah is at a dry place, but he's in the will of God at a dry place. But I'm really interested in there. Watch what happens. The brook dries up, right? You know the story. Once the brook dries up, I believe the ravens quit flying in feeding him. I mean, this is done. Now, I know y'all, my wife told me, said, you keep walking out of the internet. But anyway, I'm down here, they can at least hear. Watch this. That's a whole lot better than seeing me anyway. Hallelujah. Watch this. So God steps into his dryness. And God says, here's where I want you to go. Someone's going to sustain you there. He said, I want you to go, and he sends them to a home. The home that he sends Elijah to is going to have more than anybody could ever need. Elijah is going to a place where there are barns and barns of food, right? No. He doesn't send Elijah to Walmart Grocery Center. He doesn't send Elisha to where you would think he would. But when Elijah's in a dry time in his life, he leaves from the provisions, the providers, and watch this, he goes to a place. Look back in your Bible. The Bible says, and there the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 8, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Watch this. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So you can imagine, Elijah said, man alive, I'm hungry. Brooks dried up. Hallelujah. God's got some woman's got everything ready. All I got to do is go there. It's going to be great. How many will admit sometime when God does things sometime, you look at it and think, Lord, what are you doing? Yeah. You ever been there? God, what are you doing in my life? Anyway, you look back here and the Bible says, and he arose and went to Zarephath. Here he is again, in the will of God. Do you see it? So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman, with a woman, was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little morsel of water in a vessel that I may drink. And as he was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. For God sent me here, so you must have a whole lot of it. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. That's a terrible thing to say to when a church woman says that. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You've got to be kidding me. I've been down to the brook. The brook's dried up. The ravens quit bringing food. God, I need some help. No problem, Elijah. I'm going to send you goers and get some help. He gets there. He needs something to drink. He needs a little meal. The lady says, you need something. We're getting ready to eat the last little bit we're at. We're starving dead. God, remember, drought's going on. And we're going to die. Is this what Elijah did? Well, evidently God didn't know what he was talking about. And I guess I'll just go somewhere else and try to figure this out. No, God said go there. Yeah. Listen to me tonight. God said go there. God said go there. But then you and I were talking about that today. When God sends you somewhere, God said go there. Right? When God sent him across, we was talking about that day. God said go there. Amen? Now I want you to look back in him just a moment. The Bible says, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord send the rain upon the earth. She did what God said. And when she did what God said, God not only provided for Elijah, but God also provided for her. So watch this, and her son. You know what that says to me? That says to me that God doesn't need us. God uses us. God doesn't need our provisions. God doesn't really need, honestly, he doesn't need our ability. He needs our availability. All God wants us to do is do exactly what he said. And hallelujah, if we'll do what he said, God will take care of us. I remember years ago, I was getting ready to go on evangelism. I stayed in a couple years before going to Calvary, after my first church. And I called a well-known evangelist, a man I respected greatly. And I was sitting on the couch one night with my wife in a home we were renting after I had sold my home in Burlington. And I called this fellow just wanting to get some great biblical godly advice. So he picked up the phone and I said, preacher's brother Chris. And I said, I believe God wants me to go on evangelism. I was getting ready at that time to make that jump. God wants me to go on evangelism. I said, can you just give me something to help me to know? Here's what he said. He said, well, God sent you in and he'll take care of you, son. And that's all he said. He didn't say nothing else. He didn't say, here's how you do it. 1, 2, 3, pray after me. He didn't say, go read a book. Did you buy it at the Christian bookstore? This is how you become successful in evangelism. He said, if God sends you, he'll take care of you. That's all he said. Amen. I got a phone. Wendy said, what'd he tell you? I said, nothing. He said a lot, but he said a lot. I want you to see there's the Lord's provisions. There's the Lord's providers. But the key to, I think, this entire chapter is the Lord's place. Because God said in verse 4, look back again, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee, remember our word, there. There. Remember when God sends him to the woman of Zarephath, he says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. You know what a lot of people do when the brook dries up? Is they run somewhere else instead of where God wants them to be. Now, I love a church when everything's going great, and I hope it's always like that for you at Crossroads, but I'll be honest with you. What church I pastor, sometimes it's not all that great on a Sunday. Every now and then, we even go through a few weeks a little tough. Amen. Preacher, you got to be kidding me. Oh, no. There's times, boy, we go to church, sing the right songs, do the right preaching. But it just seems like, man alive, wasn't much going on today. Sometimes it seems a little dry. You know what some people do in a church like that? Some people come in, they'll hobby horse a church that's doing really well. But if a church ever goes through a little bit of a dry time, they'll just jump ship and run down the road. I call that hobo Christianity. That's jumping on a train without buying a ticket. But you know what you really need to do? Here's a phrase. Just stick in there. Stay with the stuff. Don't get away from God. Stay where God put you. And boy, didn't God do a work in this family's life because everybody went there. Amen. Can I ask you a question? I got to move. I tried to stay up here, but I can't do it. I want to ask you a question tonight. Where is there for you? Where is there for you? Miss Eva, before you came to Crown, I would hope that you prayed, is this there for me, for my life? I don't think you two sisters before you did, I don't think they prayed. Married them boys and left my church. Ain't the will of God. I know it wasn't. Still ain't. Still ain't. No, sorry, Brother Mock. I got it now. Not Moffett. There is one, though, that does that same thing. Amen. Hey, but I want you to know, listen, I'm telling you, you got to know where there is. If God's put you in this place to worship Him, serve Him, this is there for you. Well, I don't know. The preacher, he just seemed to be a little off this Sunday. Give him a break, man. We all get off. It may be you off. You never know, right? You never know. But I promise you, if you'll stick with it and stay with it, and you'll stay there where God put you. I remember when I first came to Calvary, I came off the road, I did not want to pastor another church. I pastored one for 14 years. To live above with the saints we love, that will be glory. To live below with the saints we know, that's a different story. I love pastoring my church, but I'll be honest. I really enjoyed evangelism, traveling, preaching. And I have a wonderful church today that still allows me one time about 30 meetings a year. Now we've knocked it back to 24, and I'm even cutting it a little bit because of our church and the size and the growing. But I'm telling you, I love going out and preaching. You know, I go preach when I leave. Praise God, I was gone. If somebody didn't show up next Sunday to church, it wasn't the preacher I'd deal with that. I was down the road, right? But I'll never forget, I had been at Calvary no time. And you know, they love you when you're in evangelism, but when you start preaching on some stuff, then all of a sudden, boy, they get like, oh, maybe we didn't make the right decision. And they never said it, but you know, I thought it. They probably never even thought it, but you know. I was on my way up preaching around Washington, D.C. in a revival meeting, and my wife was with me, and I told her, I said, Wendy, and we ain't been there, I mean, honestly, we ain't been there 2 months. I told her, I said, I think I'm going to go back and tell them this ain't for me. She looked at me, I'll never, she said, I thought you told me it's where God sent you. I said, well, I thought it was. See, I got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and Miss Wendy. Amen. Some of y'all got one of them, right? And man, what had happened was, boy, when you first come in, man, you like, listen, you were like the day that peanut butter and chocolate run into each other. You know, we call, you know, Easter's all about them little eggs, peanut butter and corn and chocolate together. Lord have mercy. You know I'm talking about them little eggs. I'm talking about the eating part of Easter. I'm talking about the carnal part, you know. Them little Reese eggs, man, Lord have mercy. I can't even eat them right now. I want to, but I'll watch somebody else eat them. I'll die from secondhand sugar. Amen. Right. Training these stupid bike races. I can't. But man, I'm telling you. Hey, but I'm going to tell you something. I told her, you know, I said, man, I just don't know about all this. She just looked at me, you know. I get back home and go back to preaching. Didn't say no more about it because I knew perfectly God had sent me there. That was 16 years ago and I'm still there because God sent me there. But you've got to know where there is for your life. And once you know whether the brook dries up, whether it's not as wonderful as it always is. Brother Danny, and I say this Wednesday night, has really got a heart for this church. I love Brother Dixon. And I say that tonight simply not as his friend, and I am his friend. But I say this tonight as a pastor that is looking at another pastor. I love riding with a preacher down the road, and everything he says about his church is positive. And he's encouraging. I mean, I've been with some folks before. I got ready to look at him and say, why don't you just quit, man? I mean, you don't like the people, the church, or nothing else. How are we going to have revival? I met a pastor's wife one time, so help me. After I met her, I thought, no wonder this church is struggling. I thought, praise God, if I was her, I'd leave. Phew. You can meet some interesting people in the ministry. But you're blessed not to have that. I'm just telling you. Now, if he talked bad about you, I wouldn't tell you either. But I'm telling you, driving down the road with him, he loves where God put him. He said, "This is what, you know what he's telling me when he's saying that? This is there. This is there. What God's doing with y'all's life. Y'all don't have no question about that. Even the sickness you've been through. Brother Mark, all the things you guys have done, you know that it's there where God put you. Brother Clark at Calvary, it better be there. There. You know, and it hadn't always been easy. That folks have been tough sometimes. Those Spanish folk are different. Right now, you know, in this country, they're skittish. And Brother Clark's trying to reach a lot of people. And sometimes, you know, girls are singing their heart out, and you're preaching your heart out, and everybody's just kind of, you know, but you're there. One day it's going to be a there in your life, Miss Lydia. Girl's going to be a there, somewhere there. You just got to find it. You got to get in it. Bloom where you planted. Yes. Amen. Amen. I'll give you this closings. I used to love watching people run big equipment in farms and all that stuff. Still do. I'd see them out in the fields, amazes me, you know. Today they got them, you know, got them air conditions in them, big old combines and all that stuff. You know, I've always noticed something about them big combines. Them big combines can take care of a huge field real fast. But some of them fields, them little corners, everything in the field is as good as it is anywhere else. But the combine can't get in it. Sometime other folk got to get the picking bag and get in the corner. I've never claimed to be one of them big combines. I told you, I'm the 911 guy. Call Brother Hazel, but nobody else can come. Hallelujah. I don't mind. I get to go. But I want you to watch this. If God would just let me get my picking bag and get over there, God will just let me get over there. I'm all right with that. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight. Don't go anywhere. Piano player's coming. Music director. Boy, they've done an awesome job this week. Man, I'm telling you. love this young lady playing that piano, her husband. I've watched their child grow up a year and a half now. I want you to listen to me tonight. I'm getting out of the way Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. You listen. I'm not interested. What I'm interested in tonight is you getting what you need and then you taking it with you. Now, don't you listen tonight. Where's there for your life? Where is there for your life? Sister, can you just play just a moment? On everybody just a moment while she's playing. Don't you think about where there is for you? So what'd you say your first name is again? Brady. You junior, you said, or sophomore, junior? There come a time you had to decide that this was there for my life. God's called you to preach. You ought to hear him sing, Miss Robin. Lord, have mercy. Him and them fellas. Last two nights, we've been so blessed, I'm telling you. But you got to find there. You know, I think about tonight, some of you, just go there. Be where God wants you to be. You say, but preacher, sometimes it seems dry. It's all right. The same one that sent you there is the same one that can take care of you. You just got to know that. Some of you tonight are searching for there in your life. Some of you are saying, God, where do you want me to go? Pastor Davy Shelton asked me to come down and preach his son's graduation. I've been preaching a lot of his graduation in that church and another young lady in Boulder Springs, South Carolina. And I've had this little thought in my heart the whole time, even before I go down there in a month. So you just got to go there. Where's there at? Amen. Brother, what number are we going to sing?
We're going to sing, I've Decided to Follow Jesus.
Boy, to follow him there, shouldn't we? I like music, guys, who know how to pick a song. Amen. That would not have been the time for Bring Them In or something. I don't know. It just, I have decided. Is anybody tonight in this building? You don't have to raise your hand. You might want to come pray about it. Is anybody tonight just searching for there in your life? Is anybody at a place where you think you need to be tonight, but it's been a little rough? And you just want to come and say, Lord, I'm planning on sticking it out there. I got news for you. God wouldn't have never sent you there if he didn't want you there. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Who'll be that first one tonight? Slip out of that seat and say, Lord, I want to be there. I want to be there. Amen. While folks are still coming, you just mind the Lord. Amen, young folk. Big part of your life right now, asking God what he wants you to do. Let's hold just a second. I'm going to ask a question. I won't get you to raise your hand. Others are still coming. Thank God for young people that want to know where there is. Amen, Pastor Dixon. Amen, boys. I'm proud of you for honoring the Lord. Thank you for honoring the Lord. Just want to know where I need to go. But I want to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. But is anybody spiritually in this building going through a dry time in your spiritual life? And you're just saying, Lord, I'm going through a little bit of a dry time right now. Just really need some help. I've had members come to me that, Brother Danny is some of the cream of the crop. I mean, love God. They're there every service. Brother Clark, they're just going through some dry times. Maybe that's you tonight. I won't get you to raise your hand. But when he sings another verse, might be good to come have a little talk with Jesus tonight. This altar's been full every night, but there's room tonight. Listen, if it rained one time, it'll rain again, spiritually speaking. I'm going to sing another verse. Anybody need to just say, Lord, I'm going to stick with you during the dry time. Lord, help me during the dry time. Brother. Absolutely. Amen, buddy. I love these youngins, man. Thank God. If you decided to follow Jesus, sing it out good and loud. I did. Through the creek, the dry creek, wherever God sent me, there. Pastor, you come.